there's a bevy of data that can be used to inform what not that long ago felt like, I'm just going to put a bunch of money in, I'm going to set up my keywords, and I'm going to hope that accounts that fit that I can sell to are going to come in. Now you can do a lot with a lot of different data to inform search.
Because hope is not a strategy.
It is not. I've been told that many times, although I have employed it many, many times.
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead. Adam, welcome to a very special episode of Revenue Makers.
It's very special. It's like an after-school special, but maybe less dramatic.
Well, I think it's special because I get to ask you some questions.
I'm in trouble.
Probably. But we've had a couple of episodes already where we've said this is the definitive episode on attribution or pipeline analytics or ICP. And I feel like we are teeing this up as the definitive episode for paid media in ABM.
Yes. There are so many customer conversations that our teams have. I have questions asked, things online, lots of clickbait about ABM and paid media and all that. So like, let's just rip it apart. Let's just go into it.
Let's tear it apart. Well, okay. I'm going to ask you one question because this is probably the most common one I get. Is ABM paid media?
No, it's part of it. There's this story that all these ABM vendors, and you know, we're an ABM vendor, because I think we like talk about it much more holistically. It's like, oh, well, you got a bunch of accounts and you're going to run a bunch of display ads to them and all the magic's going to happen. And couldn't be further from the truth. It's so much more.
So much more. It is part of the strategy. It's an important part of the strategy. But just turning on an ad campaign doesn't mean that you are doing ABM. And I will say the biggest misconception I hear, or maybe what people think happens, is you turn on a ad campaign and a prospect's going to see it and they're going to click on it and they're going to go to the landing page and fill out a form. And then there's going to be an opportunity open from that lead. And like magically, you can attribute that close one deal back to that one ad. Is that how ABM works or how paid media works?
It is, and we're done. We can just turn off. No, of course not. So there's so much to just ABM as a motion or as a strategy. Right? And I think we could talk about that as well, right? Account-based marketing is not a tactic. Account-based marketing should be a company-wide revenue-generating choice or strategy.
So it's not just marketing, you're saying?
No.
The acronym is off.
Well, I mean, how many times has that acronym been changed, right? There's ABM, there's ABX, there's ABC, 1, 2, 3, you know, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, it's such a bigger thing. Now, what we're going to talk about today, of course, is like digital, which generally is going to be marketing and paid media. But there's a lot that has to happen before, during, and beyond to make the motion work. And paid media is a big part of it, but it's not the only part. So,
okay. So let's qualify this. Why are we talking to you about this? What expertise do you bring, Adam Kaiser?
So at Sixth Sense, my team runs all of our, actually paid and organic. We're going to talk about paid, but my team runs all. So that's the display and programmatic through Sixth Sense itself. It's channels like it's Google, it's LinkedIn, it's Facebook to some extent, and other kind of digital channels that we'll experiment with or we'll work through. And ultimately, we're responsible for creating qualified accounts, which we'll talk a little bit about that later as well, that our BDR teams and our sales teams can then work based on all of the efforts of outlining ICP. And there it is again. We're going to talk about ICP because who's not? So like that's my group. And I probably did, I think last year, 60 to 70 customer conversations that all revolved around some form of digital. So
you ran digital for Sixth Sense. And even before Sixth Sense, you've been doing this for a while.
I've been doing this for any number of years, a number that I don't like to reveal because it's getting larger and larger every year. So, and I was a Sixth Sense customer doing this stuff back before Sixth Sense was cool, even.
It's always been cool, Adam.
Well, before people knew how cool. It was just a small little company. So that's a better correction. So,
all right. So where should we start?
Well, let's start at the beginning where I always like to start. But before you're going to do any of this, we're going to get back to our three favorite letters. And we've already done the definitive, but ICP.
Yep.
You can't do any advertising. You can't touch any of these accounts until you define your ICP. And that seems simplistic, but there are any number of channels and ways you can go out there and just start sort of like, oh, I'm going to start running ads and blah, blah, blah. And very, very vagary in terms of targeting. But like, you got to get your ICP down.
Agree. I mean, go listen to the episode, please. But it's some combination of obviously who you could and should be targeting, who you want to get in front of, and then how you want to be speaking to them.
We talked about how we build our ICP, and it could be as simple as, you know, an industry, or there could be just two or three levers to it, or it could be very complex based on technologies used and partnerships. And if you're using a platform or you have data on predictive analytics to help you understand, like, okay, like not only are these the right companies that we are going to go after, but like what stage they're in the buyer journey and kind of how those things work. But ultimately, committing to who's the universe that we want to go after. And it's not to say that once you have your, you're not going to advertise to your entire ICP at once, because if you do that, you'll be broke, first of all. Mm-hmm. And second of all, your message is going to be too broad. So you really want to talk about and targeting beyond your ICP, but think about the ICP as sort of your, that's your umbrella. You're going to start there. And again, like there's so many different ways to talk about ICP, but that's it.
And so once you've got your ICP defined, which again, to your point, could be a very curated list of target accounts or based on certain criteria like industry or technographics or, you know, fit, how do we get more granular and which ways have you seen this granularity be most effective?
So you start with your ICP, say, okay, how am I going to go after these accounts and where am I going to focus, right? And if you think about it, it's not, if you're coming new to ABM or haven't gone there, but it's about, you know, it's our accounts in the top, the middle, the bottom of the funnel. And there's any number of ways you can inform that, right? So again, if you're using some kind of predictive technology, say, okay, here's my ICP, but I only want to go after accounts that are early stage. And then, okay, I only want to consider ICP accounts, early stage, that are then showing intent or interest. So then you can start layering intent data in. And again, intent is not the be all end all. And actually, we should probably do the intent episode. That should be another definitive at some point.
We'll talk about it.
But it's a signal, right? So again, like there's been a lot of talk about intent and now there's a lot of talk about signals. Again, it's the same thing. What are the pieces of information that you can get that show some level of, okay, interest, activity, previous proclivity for that type of account to be somebody that you want to go after, right? So again, it could be intent. You could even be looking at ICP accounts that are in a certain stage that are showing intent and are using a certain technology if you're in the tech space. So you can create so many different campaigns around that. And then ultimately, your message or your offer is going to ladder back up to that. Because again, like I said, you can't go after your entire ICP at once because you'll go broke. And two, you want to reach those buyers where they are in their journey and what they're interested in and what they're showing pain points for too. So again, it's like CTAs and content. And we'll talk a little bit here in a minute about like the types of campaigns, but that's one with a lot of different places that you can start.
So the sky can be the limit when you do that, right?
Yeah.
How would you recommend, is there a certain segment size or audience size for a target list that makes sense when you're going down by intent levels, by stage, by pain point, by vertical and things like that? Like what is a general rule of thumb that you find?
I mean, it's different for every channel, right? So again, it comes down to, you know, you might be a very niche vertical play. Your product, you might sell into, and it may be only a couple hundred accounts. So an audience size for you could be much smaller than an audience size. Like just using Sixth Sense, right? We have a pretty defined ICP, but it's still broad in the sense that like sales and marketing and B2B, there's a lot. So we have other criteria for it. So it really, like, you can go look up all the different channels and they might have recommendations on like, oh, if you're LinkedIn, you need to have X number of people. But again, it's really your audience size is your audience size based on how you're built as a company and who your overall ICP looks like. So it's different for everyone. So there's no sort of like equation of like you do X, Y, Z and it equals this number and you're going to have success in terms of the size of audience. So it's really based on the business.
Okay. So we've taken two things away right now. First, obviously have a really well-defined ICP. So know who you want to talk to. And then secondly, know what you want to talk to them about and make it relevant based on where they are in their buyer's journey, based on what pain points they're having, based on what resonates with them. Sounds like a good starting point. What do we do next?
Yeah. Now, so the other thing too, right? So your goals will change, right? From an ABM perspective, right? Because again, going back to your sort of initial, hey, I click, I'm going to get this person. They're going to fill out a form. It's going to turn an opportunity, right? So there is a time and a place for a conversion campaign where you're ultimately got a set of accounts that perhaps they're further down the funnel. They've been exposed to various bits of content. They show a lot of intent. They've been on your website that a conversion is possible and expected, right? Again, like they've been in front of them, they're later stage, like, let's go and say, you know what, go here. Again, getting back to display, we'd never do this on display, right? We're not trying to drive somebody no matter what. But maybe if it's in LinkedIn or someplace else, they're later stage, I want them to click on the offer and I want them to request a demo. I want them to engage with some kind of offer that's going to result in a conversion. And we can talk about why and how. There's time and place for that. But with ABM, especially if you're working in a world where you have accounts in different stages, whether they're predictive stages or just you've sort of defined your top, middle, and bottom of funnel accounts, where you're not actually looking for them, the account, or the people with the account, rather, to convert, you want to show some level of engagement. So you want them to, maybe they're visiting your website, they're engaging with content, and we should talk about lack of content gating to sort of open up friction on that so that somebody can just go look at your content. Engaged traffic and engaged accounts are an incredibly important part of your digital ABM strategy because this is account-based, right? So you want to move them down and then create an opportunity or a situation where they've become aware of who you are. They've been exposed to your messaging. It could be an ad. It could be they've come to your website. They've looked at content. They've attended a virtual event. There's all sorts of different things that could have happened. And you're progressing those accounts to a point where you say, okay, sales, marketing, BDR, whoever it is, this account is showing a ton of signals that say, you know what, they're ready. We think they're ready. Let's reach out to them. So if you go back to the concept of no cold calls, no forms, no spam, which I just completely mangled the name of the book that our CRO wrote. But ultimately, if you're reaching out to warm accounts because you've done all of these things through your digital and other things as well, you're going to have a much higher chance of one, getting a response, being able to engage with them and driving them to the next point, which might be, hey, let's book a meeting because you know a lot about them. You know what they've engaged with. You know what kind of intent they're showing. You might even know they read these three pieces of content on your website. And that progression play is a huge part of A, measuring the success of a lot of the digital side, and B, an ABM strategy as a whole, because you can't just say, I'm going after accounts and they're all going to come running and ask me for something. You have to engage with them, but you got to warm them up.
Yeah, warm them up, educate them, get the right content in front of them, establish credibility, get yourself invited to the party, right? That's what we're all trying to do. And so that makes complete sense. So we've talked about the target, getting the granularity of the lists, and then what goals and outcomes to expect based on which part of the funnel you're really launching display in. Let's talk about channels, because there's quite a few.
Yes. Yes. So it's interesting because there's also, you think about two types of things with channels, right? One, you've got a bunch of channels that are really designed for capturing a level of demand that's already there. Like, so if we think about search, and we'll say Google, it could be Bing, whatever it may be, right? These are people at companies that are going to a search engine and specifically searching for, could be your product, could be your product category, could be information about your category. So they've already have some demand already sort of created for them, right? They know they might have a problem. They know they're looking for a solution. You know, you could talk about like the commercial intent of what they're searching for. If I'm searching for like account-based marketing software, that sends a very different message than what is account-based marketing. I think what is not known as much for, especially a Google search, is that you can still do a lot of things with your ABM data to actually inform that strategy and inform how you're going after accounts via that. So what does that mean? So we talked a little bit about intent. We talked about kind of where they are. An account is in the buying stage. This episode is not funny. So I think I need to do something to make it funny. We're a little serious, I think.
We get really serious about topics that we care about, by the way. It's a running
theme. It's like when you go into measurement or data, then I know. It's like.
We take it seriously, but keep going.
There's so many different ways that you can inform your search strategy through ABM data, right? And there's technologies that allow it, Sixth Sense has ways to do it. There's any number of different ways you can do it, right? So let's think about it from first, right? You can identify, you know, a lot of these ABM platforms now allow you to identify, actually, they all pretty much do at this point, identify accounts that are visiting your website. Sign receipt from Sixth Sense is on site. They're not going to know it's necessarily you, but we're going to identify that there is a Sixth Sense visitor. And at the same time, what's the other data that we might have? We might have some intent around for Sixth Sense. We might know where they sit in a buying stage because we're using predictive. So these are all things that you can gather up from a visitor and create an audience through something like a Google Analytics, where it's, again, it's a remarketing audience, but you're capturing these signals and you're creating these audiences, which you could then push to a Google search. So I can say, okay, I want to have all the accounts that have visited my site that have shown intent for, let's say, account-based marketing, and they are a little bit later stage based on kind of what my predictive model tells you. I am going to go and I'm going to make some bidding decisions. I'm going to spend more and say, because if I can get somebody to click and actually go through an ad that's in that segment, that is worth a lot more money to me, right? Right. Because there's a much higher proclivity for that becoming an opportunity, pipeline, deal, magic, shows up on your dashboard, everyone's happy. So you can inform it that way. You can even inform individual contacts that you've acquired, first party contacts that you've acquired, people that have maybe in the past that have filled out newsletter subscriptions or forms or content downloads or whatever it may be, and even push those up to Google as well. It's something called Customer Match. I think it was actually built more as an e-commerce type of thing, where again, you've got customers that have hit the shopping cart, maybe they didn't check out, but you can use that same mechanism with your data. And then now it'd be targeting the people in those specific accounts. So it's like, it's person-based targeting, somebody who is a part of your ICP who then fits into that particular campaign or program that you're running. And there's any number of different ways that you can use Google. They've got Performance Max campaigns now where you can even use Google's AI to go after lookalikes, right? So like, here's a bunch of folks that are in my ICP. Get me more of that ICP looking traffic. And again, it could be traffic that's coming in just from terms of engaging with content. Again, not conversion-based, but there's a bevy of data that can be used to inform what not that long ago felt like, I'm just going to put a bunch of money in, I'm going to set up my keywords, and I'm going to hope that accounts that fit, that I can sell to, that look good to me, are going to come in. Now you can do a lot with a lot of different data to inform search.
Because hope is not a strategy.
It is not. I've been told that many times, although I have employed it many, many times.
All right. So Adam, obviously you've been doing this for years. You do it a lot at Sixth Sense. You run really, you know, sophisticated plays for the audience looking to maybe just make their programs a little bit better, like one or two tangible tips that they could be doing today to improve their paid media programs.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, and we haven't gotten into like LinkedIn and other channels, but if you just look at any of your programs in those channels, just bring in one additional piece of data that you didn't before. If you've got anonymous web activity, or if you've got some level of intent, just using that as a little bit of a filter to say, okay, like before you build your audience, include that piece of information. So you built out something in LinkedIn, but you've pulled in accounts that you know are showing intent for terms that are really important for your business. And again, however you accomplish that, whether it's through, you know, a platform that pushes it, or you're creating lists manually, it's adding in just a little bit more data around that. That's not, again, LinkedIn, for example, we know incredibly powerful from a targeting perspective. They've got all sorts of different filters and you can really hone in on your ICP, but layering that with some of that other intent activity or whatever it may be, your tech stack even, right? If you have a complex piece of technology, you can only sell to people that use this CRM or only can sell to people that use this particular application. You're defining a tighter audience. And again, you might see similar return in terms of like clicks and conversions, but the opportunities or the accounts that become engaged are much more likely to become prospects and customers because you brought in that other piece of data. So it just kind of gives you an opportunity to get a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference across any channel that you can do that in.
Makes sense. I will give maybe a tip on the types of campaigns that have the most impact at Sixth Sense. For us, the best performing display campaigns are the ones that obviously are limited to our ICP. We don't set anything live, frankly, if it's not part of our ICP. But secondly, that is then sliced by intent stage and then sliced by the actual keywords that account is researching. Really, really important, right? So all of a sudden now we have a relevant audience. We know if they're early stage or late stage in terms of their intent. And we know which specific topics or pain points they're looking to solve. And so we have, what, probably 7, 8, 10 versions of keyword intent specific campaigns that are always on and going out to our ICP. An example would be accounts that are researching marketing AI, AI assistant, AI SDRs, right? All topics that Sixth Sense solves for. We will speak to companies who are researching those terms very differently if they are just in an early intense stage and starting to show awareness versus if they're actively showing more intense signals or on our website anonymously. You know, it's the same topic, but very different message that goes out to both based on where they are in their journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, another piece that we use that works well is like, we'll do the competitive takeout campaign every now and again, right? And so being able to layer in, again, this sounds basic, but it's important, and the data can sometimes, it used to be harder to find. It's not so much anymore, but technographic data. I definitely know within a certain view of confidence that this account uses this competitive technology, or this account uses this competitive technology and this complementary technology. Again, you can start to layer that in, because if I want to do a takeout campaign, one, I don't want to spend my money on accounts that aren't using my competitor, right? Because if the message is like, we are better than Y, or use us instead of Y, you know, whatever it may be, that's just like, that's 101. But again, like, you're targeting your spend. You want to ensure that you're getting your takeout only in front of those customers. Now, you could make the argument that, well, what about somebody who's entirely in market for whatever you sell, and they're looking at you and they're looking at your competitor? It's not a takeout. Again, you're trying to win against somebody else versus like, you've got somebody who's using a solution that they may be happy with, that may not be happy with. And like, here's why making the switch would be better for you, or could improve your situation, right, or is a better solution for you, and so forth. So that type of data. So we see a lot of success with basically everything you described, plus even adding in technographic data as another layer, which can be hugely powerful for tech companies, especially.
Love it. Three very specific examples you can go out and try now. And Sixth Sense makes it really easy to do.
And one of the things too to think about as well, right, is when you're advertising, you've got accounts, they're cold. They don't know who you are. They may not even know they have the problem that you're trying to solve for. And then you have accounts that are like heavy in market. They're visiting your website. They're visiting your competitor website. But those accounts that are early, you have to start to get in front of them. You have to get messaging in front of them. And again, it's depending upon what stage. If they're like the early, cold, under a rock, don't have a clue who you are, they're showing no intent, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be touching them. But you have to think about it a little bit differently, where let's use LinkedIn as an example, or you can even use, you could use display as well, right? We're trying to share pain point, product value. What are the things that are important for somebody to know about what you do? Establish yourself as an expert, a thought leader, and talking about these different things. And you could spend a ton of money on those cold accounts. But what you're doing is you're doing two things. One, even if they're not clicking or going directly to an ad, they're seeing you, right? And programmatic and display is particularly good for this, where it's because it's lower cost. You're starting to create that sort of like billboard effect. Like, I saw that ad here, there's that. And they're not registering that they're seeing it because maybe they're not clicking on it, but it starts to create that sort of high level awareness. And I'm sure you could all think about a time where, oh, I see that brand. Why do I see them everywhere? But you're not really sure why, because you've probably been peppered with different types of touch points over a period of time that are starting to like coalesce in your brain. So you can spend a bunch of money. And then as they start to engage, whether it's they're coming back from some that did click on those ads or whatever it may be, then you're starting to get in front of them, and then you could retarget them. Retargeting is a really powerful strategy too, where like, you got all this traffic coming in. Some of it may be qualified, some of it won't. They've started to become aware. Some have clicked. They're not, maybe they're not filling out that form you want them to fill out or engaging, but you're building that pool of traffic. Then you can start to qualify that down and start to get more relevant offers too. So the economics of it are like, you're probably going to lose money if you're looking at it from like, I spent a bunch of money to these cold accounts, none of them clicked or converted. But if you look at the full funnel, you're creating this sort of like cascade effect of more qualified accounts that could ultimately convert or become those hot accounts that your sales team and your BDRs could go and like pounce on them. So I think that's an important one as well.
And I think I want to hit on one last use case. So we've talked about using display to drive awareness and drive intent. We've talked about using those display campaigns programmatically to identify high intent accounts to pass to sales. What about air cover campaigns or display to accounts that you're actively working a deal cycle with? I know we do that at Sixth Sense, but how should folks be thinking about that?
Yes. If you think about, you've gotten the meeting, and it may be as far as there's now a piece of qualified business, there's an opportunity, it's in one of your qualified sales stages. Like for us, it's something hits that stage two, the rep saying, yes, there's a deal here, there's an evaluation going on. You know, in some companies, it's like, all right, our marketing is done, it's over to sales. But you can be very strategic in continuing that journey of, if I've got somebody who's in stage two or beyond, I want them to be exposed to thought leadership still that's relevant, as there could be like evaluation criteria, buying guides, that type of thing, customer success stories, use cases for particular personas. This is one thing that we'll do where like there might be a deal and we're running a couple of threads. We've got content for the sales folks that are in that account talking about like best practice usages. For us, it's proactive prospecting, right? Forgetting what we do for a business, that's good, which is very relevant to kind of our Sixth Sense data and how sales would use it. And then marketing side, kind of how they're building out their campaigns and all that. So whatever the channel may be, and you could definitely do it through programmatic advertising. You can also do it through LinkedIn. Again, you have to be careful in terms of how you target it because it could get more expensive. But thinking about nurturing an opportunity, even as sales is working, we see a lot of success, and you could probably talk, we get into measurement in a second, but like you look at some of the campaigns, those progression campaigns, they show up in a lot of opportunities and they're helping to move beyond those stage three, four, all the way through close. So it can be a really powerful piece as well to help with the sales process.
Yeah. And again, just reinforcing the point that marketing's role does not end when the opportunity is created.
No, it does not.
All right, let's talk measurement, my favorite part.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to measure it. So measurement that's important, that you think is important for you sitting in your role, but also for those that are sort of like getting started and looking at, how do I know if I'm actually starting to move the needle and show some success?
Yeah, the typical metrics like views and clicks, but we started the episode with this. It's very rare that somebody is seeing your ad, clicking on your ad, filling out a form and turning into an opportunity. So you need broader views of what is actually working. And so we look at engagement with those ads and we use Sixth Sense reporting for that. We use a KPI called a view-through rate. Think of it like you're driving down the highway and you see the billboard on the highway, but you might go back to that site a couple days later, right? That's what a view-through rate is. It's basically saying somebody saw your ad and then within the next 30 days ended up coming to your website. It is a bit more of a holistic metric in terms of the efficacy of the ads. And then, of course, we run our close one analysis every quarter where we are looking to see the top campaigns that we saw our closed one deals interacting with and engaging with and so on. So those are the typical ones I look at. But I know you and your digital team are doing a lot of sort of comparing of ad types, ad versions, and then even campaigns against each other. And so talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there's a lot we would do. And especially like we spend a lot of money on Google search. You know, I think every B2B marketer does. And some of you probably look at your budgets every month and you're like, oh, I spend so much. But the reality is there's a lot there. But we've been able to use our Sixth Sense data and some of the other things that Google offers now to really understand touch points, right? Because again, like for a lot of people, the misconception is someone searches on Google, they click and they go and they're done. And I don't even know what the percentage is. It's like, I think 60 to 70% of people who raise their hand, ask for a demo are at one point, there was a paid search interaction. So we look at where do these interactions happen, where in the customer journey they are. And this is one of the, I would say, the beauties of being in an account-based marketing platform company world, where we're actually spending paid search dollars on creating that engagement as opposed to just those conversions like I talked about earlier. So we're looking at the touch points. We're understanding, okay, like where did search come into play? Where did LinkedIn come into play? So that's obviously the campaigns and where they actually fit in the sequence of events. In terms of measurement, we look at creative as a big thing. We had an episode earlier about creative, but understanding like how is creative having an influence on click-throughs and all. And it has a massive, I mean, the more irreverent we've gotten with our creative, the results of they speak for themselves, like 4 or 5X across a lot of those different metrics as well. So, you know, we got pretty analytical on this, but like the creative is such a huge part of it that don't discount that because it has a huge impact on it as well. And then we're looking at, of course, our measurement is like, okay, what sort of pipeline have we seen from the more direct kind of like, okay, somebody raised their hand after these 4 touches and we understand the value that that's creating from a pipeline and opportunity perspective as well. So again, at the end of the day, the way that we live and die by 2 hardcore metrics, right? How many of those accounts did we bring into qualified? We call them the 6 QAs. And like we can go back and understand through all those different touch points that went there. And then second, how many of those, hey, I want a demo, are we able to create as well? And again, looking at, okay, that final conversion may have been somebody filling out a form after being retargeted on LinkedIn, but let's understand all the things that happened before. And you can do that through any number of different tools or even manually through some of the data that you have as well. So
there's a lot to measure, and I'm going to put in a quick plug. SixthSense has a customer community called RevCity. You don't have to be a customer, by the way, to join RevCity. You can create a profile and log in. We do publish benchmarks on what we're seeing across our customer base as well as ourselves in terms of what ad performance metrics are looking like. And so I encourage folks who are interested in just understanding what good looks like to go into RevCity and find that. And then the second plug I'll make is on the creative side. A bunch of our customers actually will bring up, post their ad creative in RevCity, and our experts at SixthSense will actually review that ad creative and give them recommendations, again, based on best practices and what we're seeing works really well. And so two really great resources for anyone interested in learning more.
Yes, that was a very subtle plug, by the way.
Thank you.
You can do it pretty well.
I tried. We all use it. And so I just feel like I'm going back to it. I feel like let's give folks the opportunity to do the same.
And you're not getting answers from people at SixthSense. You're getting answers from customers and other, like, they're faster than we are. They're smarter than we are. So you're going to get a lot of feedback and a lot of sort of peer-to-peer type of interaction that can be really powerful too. So,
all right, Adam. We covered a lot. Tell me, are we missing anything, or is there anything you want to reinforce at the end here?
I think just getting back to it, right? It's ICP. It's beginning with, like, what's the outcome you want to drive, whether it's that conversion, that progression, and then just making sure that you really understand the audience that you're going after. The channels are the channels. You know, they have very sort of differing ways of using them. But at the end of the day, like, those are the three things that you need to think about. And then from a measurement perspective, what are you trying to accomplish? Again, I don't know. Multiple times I've talked to folks and they're like, oh, well, I ran this advertising campaign and we're not really sure how well it did. And I was like, well, what were you trying to accomplish? And sometimes people don't actually know. They're like, oh, well, we just wanted to run some ads to these accounts. And it's no fault. And it's not like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's just like, you're trying to move the needle, but make sure you're trying to, you know, where you want the needle to go. I think that does something I could hammer home all day long. And now I have, know where the needle can go is a little quotable. So we'll use that.
There you go. All right, Adam, lots of tidbits, lots of takeaways, and I'm sure you'll still get asked.
I hope so. Ask your questions. I don't know everything, but feel free.
We could do a follow-up. Again, post your questions, comment, send them to any of us, and we'll do a follow-up. You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue, and we might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.